everybody. My name is Emily Wade, and thank you all for coming to my session. I know it's the last one of the day, so thanks for being here. Today I will be presenting the structural changes in the cotton ginning industry. So from before there was a word for the action, cotton ginning was created to help remove seeds from fiber. As long ago as 500 AD, evidence is found of tools that ancient Asians, Africans, and North Americans used to remove seeds from the cotton bowl. They were called churka or churka, and consisted of a roller made of wood or iron and a flat piece of wood or stone. They were very difficult to use and required a great deal of skill to operate. Between the 12th and 14th century, the dual roller gin appeared in India and China, and the Indian version was spread throughout the Mediterranean cotton trade by the 16th century. By the 18th century, the simple cotton ginning method was introduced to the South. However, what most people think of when they think of a cotton gin falls more closely in scope to the mechanical cotton engine, or cotton gin, created by Eli Whitney. His design of the machine allowed for locks of seeds to be put in the top of a mechanism and pushed through a set of wire teeth, which combed out the seeds. This machine then went through several stages of change, where a lot of new innovations, such as saws to clean the cotton instead of wire teeth, and larger configurations allowed the machine to become even more efficient. The machine had immediately made cotton the South's number one cash crop. Early on, the cotton gin was creating a booming industry. It seemed that everyone wanted to own, build, or operate one. Back then, the mechanics were not as advanced as they have become today, and even with the efficiency it brought over hand processing, there needed to be a lot of gins to process the cotton that was produced. Recently, however, the trend and the technology of cotton farming has changed. Many gins have been lost to consolidations or closures. Because of the fewer number of gins available to farmers, as well as the growth of the average number of bales that can be produced by a farmer, gins have had to make some pretty big changes. They've had to upgrade to newer technology, the installation of monitoring systems to reduce energy costs, and automated systems that have been developed for handling everything from modules to strapping and bagging finished bales are among the new technologies used today. Automation in the cotton ginning industry was implemented in part to solve the labor shortage. It was also needed in order for the industry to keep up with the vast volumes of cotton being harvested. The creation of modules also impacted the structure of the ginning industry because it meant that the cotton could be transported over further distances to reach the gin. Another change in the industry is that most gins are, in one form or another, owned by producers instead of being owned and operated as a private business. Gins have also begun offering warehousing and cottonseed storage as well as ginning for the farmers. The success of the gin relies on the success of the farmer. The U.S. cotton production has grown from producing 750,000 bales in 1820 to producing approximately 17 million bales in 2012. In 1991, there were approximately 1,505 gins in the United States. However, USDA NASH shows that there are only 671 gins in the United States in 2015. 671 gins, which have to have the capacity to process as much as 17 million bales of cotton per year. This would not be possible if the ginning industry did not implement newer technology and resources. This is the current state of gins around the United States. It shows great progress, but also many losses. Looking toward the future, a study was done by Etheridge, Roy, and Myers using a Markov chain analysis to estimate gin numbers. The results said that there are four factors that will affect the number and average size of gins: the changes in the cost of labor, changes in the cost of energy, the proportion of cotton production, and the progression of time as an indicator of gradual technological changes. For this type of analysis, the non-stationary Markov chain procedure was preferred because it provides the ability to examine the effects of outside forces on the cotton ginning industry structure. It predicts increased movement of the gins out of the small gin state and into the dead gin state. It also predicts an increase in the number of gins in the large gin firm, even though the total number of gins will continue to decrease. In fact, most predictions state similar ideas and only differ on the amount of time it takes them to come true. For the industry as a whole, this will mean fewer jobs due to the mechanization and the loss in number of gins. It will also mean there will be a greater demand in cotton gin sales and servicing of the new technology. This future prediction seems fairly drastic, but if we look back on the past evidence, the results are not far-fetched. So as an example, because of the vastly differing sizes of the ginning operations within the state, as well as the fact that it is the great state within which we currently reside, we will look at Texas to determine these changes. All of this data was gathered from the USDA NASH database going back as far as it was available. Also, Texas is the largest cotton-producing state, so for this study, we will look at Texas to determine the reason and extent to which the cotton ginning industry is changing in the United States. This will give us a clearer picture of what is happening on a much larger scale in the United States. In Texas, the number of cotton gins decreased from 472 in 1991 to 206 in 2015. The total bales ginned went up from approximately 4 million in 1991 to approximately 5 million in 2015. This supports the Markov chain analysis theory that as gins become more efficient and the cotton production industry increases production, the number of gins goes down and the average number of bales ginned goes up. This gives us a broad overview of what is happening within Texas, but the trends differ depending on whether a specific county is large or small on the ginning production scale. Let's look at several counties who demonstrate very different reactions to the change. The first four counties we will look at are in the large gin category because they all contained more than 10 gins within their county lines. The first county is Lubbock, with 18 gins on first count in 1991. Since then, the number of operable gins has decreased by nearly one half to 10. As you can see, it is similar to Texas in the trend line. The number of gins has gone down and the number of bales ginned has gone up. The same is true for the next county as well. Linn County employed 15 gins in 1991 and now has only 6. However, it still enjoys a fairly large bale per gin ratio. When using bales per gin, although it is not explicitly shown on these graphs, it also rises or drops with the number of running bales produced. This ratio is found by dividing the number of bales in a given county by the number of operating gins within the county. This ratio will be referred to in order to show the relationship and relative trend of the two lines shown on the graphs. Although Linn County is smaller than Lubbock County or Texas as a whole, it follows the same trend line as will be true for most of the counties examined. The next county in the large gin division is Hockley, which had 12 gins in 1991 and has since moved to 7. The trend line, although more steady in the middle years from 2004 to 2010, shows the number of gins decreasing and the number of bales per gin increasing. The final county we will examine for the large gin category is Hale County, which began in 1991 with 20 gins. Unlike the other counties, however, it has moved down in the number of gins as well as in bales per gin. This is not the same trend line we have seen thus far, and there can be many reasons for that. It was mostly caused by the increased production of corn and sorghum because of the ethanol boom and the decreased production of cotton within the county. This is why this trend line shows a negative impact that we do not want to replicate in other counties, with the number of gins and the number of bales per gin both decreasing at a rapid rate. Despite this one view of what can happen to large gins, the overall productivity trend is positive, and due to the high cotton production of the region surrounding and within these counties, they are able to maintain a higher number of gins. So to sum up, by 2015, large gin counties show that cotton production is still high, but there have been reductions in the number of gins due to consolidations, and the average number of gins in these counties has gone down. Now moving on to smaller gin counties. So before we get into the data, a little disclaimer. It is sometimes hard to get data tables for the small counties in bales per gin. For most of the small counties, they import cotton from multiple counties around the area. And this being said, these counties usually don't have a good data number for running bales ginned. We can, however, assume that the counties only have one gin, that all or most of the cotton produced in that county goes through that gin. We can also assume that the technology increases at the same rate of the other gins in Texas and the rest of the United States. If this is the case, then it makes sense that these counties can only support one or two gins instead of the large number like 9 or 10 gins that larger cotton-producing counties can sustain. The first county we will examine in this category is Mitchell County. Mitchell County began in 1991 with 4 gins and has since been downgraded to 3. The number of gins in this county has remained relatively steady. The reason this county can have such a stable number of gins is because the cotton production for this county is very limited. With such a limited amount of cotton planted and harvested in this county and the counties around it, a very small number of gins can be supported. But this number of gins is not as fast changing as in some of the larger counties. So the trend in Mitchell County is a small but consistent number of gins and a similarly small fluctuation in the number of bales per gin. The running bales gin is dependent on the amount of cotton produced, which is sometimes hard to keep consistent in smaller counties. The next county is Brazoria County, which started with 3 gins and went down to 2. This county shows the same consistent number of gins as the last county. The running bales gin line shows a lack of cotton gin, which infers that the gins in this county are shipping cotton from neighboring counties or are barely producing enough to scrape by and allow them to stay open. The next county is Hall County, which began in 1991 with 5 gins and has since moved down to 3. Although the trend line looks a little bit different in this graph, it shows a growing number of bales per gin and a shrinking number of gins. This is the same trend that was seen in the Texas total and in the large counties. This county might be different than other small counties we looked at because it began with a larger number of gins compared to other counties. This makes the trend easier to see within the data. It might also have something to do with a more consistent number of bales produced within the county, which had to be ginned and allowed for more technology to be incorporated. final county we will look at is Knox County. As you can see, the number of gins and production went drastically down over the years. This is an example of a county moving from a state where they can support a ginning operation to a dead gin state where the operation of a gin is not feasible because of the production of cotton has virtually disappeared. For many small ginning counties, this is their fate. They will begin moving towards the state, just like the large gin counties will begin losing gins as they become more and more efficient. These small county gins have lasted, but most of the time, by taking cotton from neighboring counties that no longer have a gin of their own. However, as the future progresses, more of the counties that behave similarly will also begin to lose their gins. This is because as cotton transportation gets better, modules can travel further and to get to another larger, more efficient gin. The future for agriculture will continue to be full of technological innovations that will be implemented on all fronts. There will be more dedication to finding ways for things to run as quickly and efficiently as possible. This includes gins, which will become more consolidated and faster. The number of gins will drop because the capability of one newly upgraded gin will more than make up for what multiple gins did before, and continue the trend we have seen in the previous examples. As we look toward the future, there will surely be many new curveballs thrown in the way of agriculture. The reasons for these changes have been laid out here and their causes analyzed. Another good possibility for the future of the ginning industry is a move toward year-round ginning. As technology increases to let bales sit longer after harvest, gins could decrease in number and allow a higher average bale for gin ratio. This could provide jobs to year-round employees and allow employers to be a little more choosy. So instead of hiring 7 or 8 seasonal workers who are only able to do their jobs, a gin can employ 4 or 5 year-round workers who are able to do many different things within the gin. By making a change to year-round ginning, technology inside the gin doesn't need to improve quite as fast. If there is more time to gin the harvested bales because technological improvements have allowed them to sit longer, then there is not a need to rush a gin to get as many bales processed as it can before the season is over. And that's all I have. Thank you. Thank you.